Let's open up the scripture this morning to Matthew chapter 24, the 24th chapter of Matthew. And we're going to be looking especially at the 42nd verse and following. But before we read the scripture, let's pray together. O God in heaven, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We want to look this morning and later, if the Lord gives me life and breath and I'm able to come back to the E-Bible Fellowship. The New Testament 23 times uses the word watch. Watch, W-A-T-C-H, concerning especially the second coming of Christ. And we want to try to analyze what that word means. It may not mean what you think it means, and I want to caution you there. The Bible often doesn't mean what you think it means on the surface. Turn with me real quickly to one of the most important verses that I think is in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. I hope you commit this passage to memory, at least the reference to it. Isaiah 6, 9 says, "And he said, go and tell this people," that's the Lord said, "go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." This chapter is very important, and that's the key part of that chapter. God has no intention that his word be understood, be seen and understood, or be heard and understood by the average man or woman or child that ever hears it. God gives the seeing eye and the hearing ear in Proverbs 20, verse 12, to those he chooses. Plenty of people know the Bible and teach the Bible. There are hundreds of cults in the world that travel around in the name of Christ. They have no concept what the scripture means. But God, by electing grace, gives seeing eyes and hearing ears to those that he intends. And the Bible is a very confusing book to most of the world that's ever dealt with it. It's the oldest book in the history of the world, oldest complete book, and the most published book in the history of the world. But few there be that find it and understand it. That verse, by the way, Matthew 6, 9, is quoted by the Lord Jesus especially, but it's quoted in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and elsewhere. Let me say that again. It's quoted in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and elsewhere. It's quoted in Ezekiel. Very, very special verse. So we need to approach. I want to confess that I don't fully understand this word watch after studying it for quite a while now. I've been aware of this word in the New Testament 23 times for 13 years. But I want to confess that I still need further work on it. I hope we can work together this morning on it. You know, it's related to another word, looking for and hasting unto. Remember that passage in 2 Peter 3:12? We're watching something, which generally points us to the activity of our eyes. And 2 Peter 3:12 speaks about judgment day and looking for and hasting unto that day. And Hebrews 10:25 says that the believers will see the day approaching. That's the activity of the eyes. There's a very wonderful Christmas passage in Luke 2. Let's just jump over there quickly. A woman named Anna, a prophetess. And this woman is a very significant figure in the Christmas story. The baby Jesus is being brought for the purification of Mary, a woman that bore a child under Mosaic law, was unclean until she had offered two turtle doves or two pigeons. And here comes Mary with the baby Jesus into the temple. And who's in the temple? Well, let's look at Luke 2, beginning in verse 36. There was one Anna, a prophetess. We just heard in the earlier Bible study by Mr. McGowan, a prophetess is somebody declaring the word of God. The daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and she had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And then he died. Because it says then, and she was a widow of about 84 years. 84 years this woman had been widowed. She probably was 100 years old. or nearly, could have been well over 100 years of age, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. How come she had moved into the temple? It says she literally was in the temple night and day. The reason she was in the temple is she was aware that she was like Simeon in the verses just before her. She was going to see the Lord's Messiah. She was going to see the baby Jesus. Thousands of years, 11,000 years had passed by. And this woman, I believe, was a student of the scripture. She was a prophetess. She had very carefully studied the word of God. She was watching for the Lord Jesus. And she knew to time her movement into the temple, where night and day with fastings, and Isaiah 58 likens fastings to giving out the gospel. There she was busying herself in the house of God, giving out the gospel. She wouldn't have been teaching men because the scripture forbids it, but she certainly would have been teaching women and children in the area of the temple reserved for women, which was the outer court. And night and day she was there. And she spake of him, the baby Jesus, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. This is a very interesting word, looked for. It's the word we just quoted from 2 Peter, looking for and hasting. She was looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And Peter says in 2 Peter concerning the day of judgment, where the world will be on fire, that we are to be looking for that day. She was a watcher. And we're going to later on in another study, we're going to look at the watchers and holy ones in the Old Testament, those watching and the duties of watchers in the Old Testament. She was looking for redemption. That word, by the way, is in Acts 28, which is a parable of the end of time. Acts 28, 27 and 28, remember the shipwrecks and the storm Euroclydon? And Paul lands on the island of Melita, and they make a fire because they're cold and soaking wet. 276 sailors, all safe, all perfectly preserved. And a beautiful picture of the assurance of salvation that believers have. Satan cannot touch them, even in that terrible storm, and even them being cast into the sea. And this word looking is when Paul was bitten by a poisonous snake, an asp, twice in Acts 28. It says they stared, they looked, which is a very intense look. We'll get into that more later, but that's related to the word watch. Now, twice the King James translators do not translate this word, Strong's 11:27, watch. They translate it wake in 1 Thessalonians 5, which we'll get to in a minute, Lord willing, and also vigilant. And a vigilant person is, of course, a person watching. Keeping a vigil is somebody staying awake, not sleeping, and they're vigilant. They're on their toes. This word, 11:27, the word watch in Greek, is a rather unique word, and it's not related to other words. Sometimes when you look up words in the original language, they're related to other words. This is a standalone word, watch. It's used 23 times. Now turn back with me to Matthew chapter 24, our main text this morning. I want to say that as we try to understand the word watch, we have a better opportunity to understand the things of God in the scripture than those that have been alive for 13,000 years. Daniel 12 says, at the time of the end, something remarkable will happen. And that is, God is going to open the eyes of his people to the end of time. But it's going to be kept secret until the very end of time. Remember the book in Revelation 5 that's sealed with seven seals and it's written on the back? It's completely written. It's the Bible, by the way, that book. You can't add to it. It's even written on the outside. There's no adding to that book. And at the end of time, someone is going to come and begin to unleash seven seals on that book. And you read through Revelation 5, 6, 7, and 8, and you find there's only one worthy to unlatch those seals, and that's the Lord Jesus. And he is graciously now in this age called the Great Tribulation, unsealing that book. So I want to encourage you, as you begin to dig into the Word of God, you have an opportunity that for 13,000 years others have been barred from. You will be able to see more than ever, and we're going to try to uncover some of those things. In Matthew 24, let's begin reading in verse 36, just to catch the context here. But of that day and hour, that is the day and hour of Judgment Day, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Two shall be in the field. Jesus said, the field is the world. The one taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. A picture of the grinding at the mill is the grinding out the grain of the Word of God, the bread of life. And we are asked then in our main text, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But, however, know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, which is a description of hell. Those that are not ready, not watching in the sense of being ready. Now, I want to make a few comments on this passage. The scripture says in verse 43, if the good man of the house had known in what watch. That word watch refers to the four watches of the day. That's not the word we're studying today. The scripture says there are four watches, and as I understand those four watches, we're going to visit them at a later time. They ran from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., 9 p.m. to midnight, midnight to 3 a.m., and 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And they were the four watches of the night, and there were four watches of the day. But the word watch we're considering, it does not have to do with those four divisions of nighttime in the scripture. We're going to visit them at a later time. Who's the good man of the house here in verse 43? Well, he may not be who you think he is. The scripture does not use this word good man at all. That word is not in the original text of the Bible. That word is oikodespotos. Oikodespotos. What's a despot? A firm ruler. Rules with an iron hand, right? And oiko, and those of you that have looked at the Greek, and I know some of you and you have, oikos or oiko is the common word in the scripture a couple hundred times, house. Okay, there's no good man at this house. There's a despot. There's a ruler of the house. But if you'll look up in Old English, you'll find that the good man of the house is the householder. He's the ruler of his house. But the connotation of the word good is a little bit off the track from Greek. If the man ruling the house, now the house, look at Matthew 24:17. Just cast your eyes back a few verses. 24:17. Here's the house. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. And that verse is worded a little bit differently in Mark 13. The house is used twice there. There's the oikos, oiko, the house. And that has to do with a believer's own house. But house is also the whole household of all the believers, where believers gather. House is used two ways. Your personal house, your temple, which is your body. Remember, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This tabernacle, the scripture says. So here's the good man, the ruler of a house. And Jesus is teaching here. If you, as a ruler of your house, had known what hour the Lord was coming, the thief wouldn't have broken into your house. And by the way, this broken into, remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, spoke about where thieves break through and steal, where moth and rust corrupt. That's this very word. That's the break-in of a thief. By the way, the whole world is facing this break-in very soon. Christ is coming very soon. We can learn from the Scriptures. I don't know precisely what day or hour. The Scripture actually suggests that we will not know the day or hour. But we can know approximately. And we're going to look at some Scriptures which tell us that carefully. But we're to be watching in such a way that if you're the good man of your house, you're the oikodespotos, if you're the ruler of your house, you will not allow this to happen to you. You will not be caught by surprise. Now, we know, we already referred to, we would see the day coming, and the whole chapter of 1 Thessalonians 5 speaks about children of the day or saved. They will not be caught by the thief in the night. But this thief in the night, who is the thief in the night? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine him being called a thief. A thief is a person that steals. He's a felon. But Christ is coming as a thief in the night. Let me just have an aside here for a minute. We're going to see this thief a couple times here. The thief is the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he come to steal? He comes to steal everything. Everything but one thing that believers have. He comes to steal the whole universe. Read 2 Peter. He's going to burn the whole universe and every element with fire. Magnesium, uranium, zinc, iron is going to be destroyed. The solar system, this earth, Philadelphia, Joliet, Illinois, are going to disappear, even the elements. He's coming to remove this universe. And, even more importantly, what's more importantly that more important than this universe? A man's soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He's coming to steal away every hope of the gospel, of a man or woman or child ever being saved. Again, remember the rich man in hell? He said, somebody touch my tongue with one drop of water. That's the water of the gospel. There will be no more drops of the gospel on judgment day. It ends the gospel opportunity. It ends Philadelphia. It ends E-Bible Fellowship and Pow Talk. They're done. Every single thing you know, those of you that are married, it ends your spousal relationship forever. You're not going to know a spouse in heaven. And most importantly, of course, he's coming to take away the very, very last drop of hope of the gospel on that day. But the good man of the house, if he's watching, and that should be you, if you've been saved, if he's watching, your house will not be broken into by this thief. Let's take a parallel look. Mark 13 is a perfect parallel of this chapter, Matthew 24. Let's see what these verses say in the parallel verse, and then there's a parallel in Luke. We'll look at that too. Let's begin reading in verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Father. Take heed, watch and pray. Here's where watch and prayer come together. And there are three or four or five of these. We're going to try to spend some time in the idea of watching and praying. For ye know not when the time is. Well, isn't that... I mean, we all speak English, don't we? You ain't going to know when the time is. I mean, what are you occupying yourself with looking into some calendars of the Bible and you think you know when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come? Be very careful of the Bible. Be very careful. What's the next verse say? For the Son of Man. In fact, that's in italics. And the next verse actually says, as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Here's our word, one of the 23. Here it is again in verse 35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. We just said that. Isn't that plain and simple? You don't know when the master comes. When the master of the house cometh at evening or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. They're the four watches of the night. They're divisions of the evening. And so God is further clarifying what he means by not knowing the time of the Lord's coming. Verse 36, lest coming suddenly he find you asleep. Asleep. We need to look at that very carefully. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Turn with me to Luke 12. We'll see another parallel. This is called the Olivet Discourse, by the way. These verses about the end of the world, they're found in Matthew 24 and 25, 100 verses. Mark 13, they're found in Luke 12, 17 and 21. Those of you with a pen ought to write that in your margin if you're interested in looking into the coming of Jesus Christ. You certainly don't want to miss those passages. Matthew 24 and 25, Mark 13, Luke 12, 17 and 21. Luke 12, let's begin in verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins, your midsection, be girded about and your lights burning. Remember, the foolish virgins had no oil for their lamps. Let your lower lights be burning. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding. It's not my purpose to analyze every word here. We'd have to spend months together. What's the wedding he's coming back from? He's marrying a bride. Here's young Mr. Von Oringa. He just married a bride 1 year ago today. 1 year ago today, his wedding. The bridegroom, who's he marrying? All the elect. All the elect. That's a lot of weddings, right? And when is he going to return to judge and destroy the earth? When he has married the last bride. And that's a very secret thing, known only to him. But he's returning from the wedding, his wedding with his bride, and he's making up that bride, and it's coming very near the end of when he's making up his bride. He will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. No surprise to his brides. They're ready to open the door when he comes. Blessed are the servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Here we are, our word. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, which is often the word of God, and will come forth and serve them. This is a scripture, by the way, that just scares me to death. I don't know what this scripture does to you. Are you ready for that on Judgment Day? You're watching for him, and he's going to save you and take you to heaven, and he's going to wrap a towel around him and serve you? That scares me. How could the Lord serve me? He's going to wrap a towel around himself, and he's going to wait on me, and he's going to give me meat. He's going to give me his word, the word of God. And I hope you fear when you read that, because there's no one that deserves the Lord to kneel down and serve you meat. Every one of us, the scripture says, are desperately wicked. And the Lord of glory, the maker of the universe, is going to serve you meat. He is. Yes, he is. Those of you that are watching and are ready also. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch, those are those watches of the night we refer to, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Those that are called blessed in the scripture are the saved. They're also called wise. Here are the saved. And when Christ comes, he's going to find the saved watching. And this know, that if the good man, here he is again, is he the good man of the house? No, he's the house ruler. Oikodespotos. Here he is again. That's you, if you're saved, had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. A little aside here, and we saw this in Matthew, and it's here in Luke, and we're going to look at Luke 21 in a minute and add to this. The scripture says Christ is coming at an hour when ye think not. He's speaking to his 12 disciples. Of course, they had no concept of when Christ was coming the next time. Remember in Acts, the first chapter, he says, are you now going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He was raised from the dead. And in that's the time in which he ascends from the Mount of Olives up to heaven. They had no idea. They said, is it now? Is the second coming now? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or season. But he's been saying this for 2,000 years. Is the Son of Man, in your understanding of the world, there are 1 to 1.5 billion professing Christians. And just for a shortcut, you can divide them up into 1/3 Roman Catholics, 1/3 Eastern Orthodox and related groups, and 1/3 Protestants. Are they watching for the Son of Man? Not really. Not really. Actually, amongst the Protestants, and I've been a Protestant my whole life, I'll speak for them for a minute. About 95% of them don't think Christ is coming for at least 1,000 years. He's coming soon, maybe, in the next few years, and then he's going to set up an earthly kingdom, and then at the end of that, the believers are going to be taken to heaven with him. And by the way, the really good news about that deal is you're going to get a second chance in those 1,000 years. You're going to have a chance to be martyred for Christ. And even if you missed the first go-around, if you profess Christ in the second, in that 1,000-year period, you can still be saved. So don't get that scared about hell. Christ is coming, but it isn't over for you. Is the world... Let's just read the scripture. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. I think the world doesn't have any sense whatsoever that we're right now in the time when Christ is going to come, and he is. They've adopted somehow in the last 100 years it was God's good pleasure to pollute the world with an unbiblical view that Christ's coming is way off in the great by and by, in the sweet by and by. He's not coming now. But I want to warn you from the Word of God, now is when Judgment Day is coming. Now is when the thief of the night is going to come to your home, and he's going to attempt to break through, the Scripture says here. He's going to attempt to break into your soul. And if your soul is not ready, we're going to see later, the thief is going to see what garments you have on, what you're wearing on that day. And it warns that many are going to be found naked. You're going to be unclothed on the Day of Judgment. And he warns in Matthew 7 that you may have a wonderful testimony. You may be prophesying in his name, Matthew 7. Have we not called him Lord, Lord? He's your Lord. You prophesy the word of God in his name. You cast out demons, which is an allegory or a figure of saving people. You're a soul winner. And you've done many mighty works, dunamis. You're a miracle worker. That's the whole charismatic movement right there. You can do anything. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Those people, he's going to say, I never knew you. He's going to find them naked when he breaks into their house. Watch and be ready also. And here's the concept of the whole world. Do they have a sense of when Christ is coming? In fact, if you tell them you think you can discover from the Scripture when Christ is coming, you'll be called a lunatic, I assure you. I assure you. Let's just turn while we're in Luke over to Luke 21 and see a few more verses. Begin in verse 34. It gives us a little more insight about this concept. 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare, a trap. Judgment Day is a trap for the whole world. And they don't know the thief is going to come a-knocking. The thief is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's coming to take everything. Every single thing you have dreamed of or this world ever had. Every king or kingdom that ever was will all pass away. You, your possessions, your job, your family, and your hopes and aspirations, and any chance you have of ever being saved will disappear on that day. If you've been putting off wrestling with the Scripture and crying out to God, I warn you, the thief is at the door, the Scripture says. He's nigh. The day is approaching. You can see the day approaching. And these passages all begin, I should have started a few verses earlier. They all begin with the fig tree parable. And here's the opening shot across the bow. They all begin with the reforming of Israel as a nation in 1948. And anybody that seriously read the Bible ever, even the reformers were aware of that, that Israel was going to be regathered. That's 500 years ago. But that clock is ticking, and the alarm clock is going to go off, and this thief is going to come and break in your life. And if you're found naked or with the wrong garment, what happened to the man at the wedding with the wrong garment? He was cast into hell. Five wise and five foolish virgins. They looked great. They sounded great. They were virgins. They looked pure as the driven snow. That's what a virgin is, right? They went to hell, the five foolish virgins. They didn't have the olive oil, and that word is olive oil in that passage. They didn't have the oil of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have saving grace that saves them. I want to contrast these watches with what God uses this word watch very, very carefully concerning the second coming. We're to watch and pray. We're to watch and be ready. And what I've read to you. Let me just finish Luke 21, by the way. For as a snare, it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always. Here's watch and pray. That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. How shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Jesus said to the Bible teachers of his day. And I need to ask myself that. You know, I'm up here teaching the Bible. And these words point to me first. That sword of the Spirit, someone once said to me years ago, get out that sword of the Spirit, the Bible. What's the first thing it does? It stabs you in the chest. You. It divides to the dividing asunder of joints and marrow. Those of you that know and read the Bible, do you like to apply it to others and tell your mom and your neighbors about it? The first thing the sword of the Spirit does is it stabs me in the chest. And it shows you you're on your way to hell. The first thing when you get introduced to that Bible. And that ought to leave us all pretty humble before we start applying that sword to anybody else's chest. It divides to the dividing asunder of your very, very inside. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents. Oh, how I dread on Judgment Day if the thoughts and intents of my heart for 62 years had to be put on a TV screen. I couldn't stand it. If I could commit suicide, I would that day. I would that day. Could you stand that? The thoughts and intents of your heart? To stand before the Son of Man. Let's look at the parallel concerning this word watch. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Here we are. We've come to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Christ has arrived in hell. I gave the Bible study perhaps here a while back. Christ in hell. Christ did go into hell. If he didn't go into hell, his people must go there themselves. Matthew 26. Let's read from verse 38. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye, wait ye here, and watch with me. Here's the same word, Strong's 11:27. What's this word doing here in the Garden of Gethsemane? Christ is in hell. He's in super agony. Actually, if you look at this in Greek and study this carefully, the scripture says he is beside himself with amazement. You think it gets bad? He sweats blood here. You think it's pretty bad? The Son of God and Son of Man at the same time? Never separate those two. The scripture says in Luke 22:45, an angel was sent from heaven to help him. He was in big trouble, especially as a man right here. He was in hell. That word angel probably ought to be messenger. Some of you are shaking your head, yes. Who was the messenger came out of heaven? Likely the Holy Spirit. Why did he need help in the Garden of Gethsemane? He had to make it to the next day. He had to endure 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He had to be nailed to the cross of Calvary and then go into the grave where his soul would not see corruption and rise again before dawn on Sunday. He was only enduring his first day in hell. He had two to go. And a messenger came out of heaven. That's Luke 22:45. Christ is in suffering the damnation of hell, the equivalent of you being there forever. Don't try to explain that, but the scripture says it, and we have to accept it. And if he didn't go to hell, I have to go there forever. If he didn't go in my place, I must go there forever. He says to the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, he takes three disciples. I want to talk about the threes at the cross of Calvary. There are 20 of them at least. And the same threes are in Acts 27 and 28, that shipwreck and Paul. There are likely 30 of them there. God didn't write the Bible the way you might think on the surface. I had a 12-year-old girl in my Sunday school class many years ago raise her hand and said, Mr. Hall, how come all those threes are at the cross of Calvary? Three crosses, three malefactors, 3 hours he hung on the cross, three languages over his head, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Three disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, three Marys named at the foot of the cross, three things Judas brings into the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest Jesus, and on and on and on and on and on and on. There's more than I know about, probably. God did not write the Bible the way it appears on the surface. And the other set of threes, by the way, is that, watch out, that Acts 27 and 28, a parable of the end of the world. There's 30 of them in there. Christ says, watch and pray to the three disciples. He said, tarry, wait. Just wait, you three men. You're my three best buddies, my Peter, James, and John, my three closest friends. And he goes into hell. Couldn't you just pray for me? He throws himself down in agony with loud cries three times. He finds them asleep. Were they watching or were they sleeping? Now, before you condemn these three men, they were just like you and me. Those of you here that know you're saved, we tend to sleep a lot. It says their eyelids became heavy. And these three men, how come they were sleepy? Scripture says they were in great sorrow. You ever lose a loved one or have a lot of agony or tension in your life? I don't know if you're like me. You tend to want to go to bed and just get it out of your mind, right? And the disciples were in that condition. They weren't sleeping just particularly from carelessness, and they could care less what happened to their Savior. Notice he was a stone's throw away. He was actually stoned to death. Did you know that? He was a stone's throw away where they were sleeping. Did the Savior have to be stoned to death? Was he like the incorrigible child there, that the mother and father to bring him out by the arm, and all Israel shall stone him to death, and all Israel shall hear in fear? It's the Lord Jesus. Spiritually, he was in hell. Spiritually, he was stoned to death before he even got to the cross of Calvary. Watch and pray. Tarry here. Just wait a little bit. And he goes on and prays. Verse 40. And saith unto Peter, here's Peter, just denied him three times. Remember, he's going to say to him shortly, in the next few days, he's going to say, feed my sheep. And he loved Peter. And Peter could be a real mess. I don't know what you are in the eyes of God, but boy, I'm so glad Peter's in the Bible. Peter, what, could you not watch with me? And I'm putting this call out to you. I hope you're catching the gist of all this. I'm appealing to you, watch and pray right now. Right now, some of you know very well the Lord's coming is very soon. It's in the next few years. And if ever in your life you watched and prayed, it's now. We're going to talk later about what prayer we're talking about. What prayer was Jesus doing? He was on his face in agony. The scripture in Greek, if you look it up, says he was screaming. Screaming. You ever get together with God and scream, cry out for mercy? See yourself in hell? See yourself deserving that? Start screaming. Get into your closet where nobody can. Don't try to impress anybody. Your spouse or your kids or anything. Just get alone. Get your car out on the turnpike and pull over to the side. Call upon the Lord. Christ, if Christ could do that, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do that? I know how to scream. I screamed at my kids, and I've raised my voice at my wife. Know how to scream, you boys and girls? Let it out. The Lord Jesus did. Good enough for him, it's good enough for you. What are you going to scream? Peter, walking in the water, started to sink. What did he scream? Lord, save me. You don't know what to say? The Holy Spirit, if you're saved, he's going to pray for you anyway. You don't need to say words, right? Try these words, you boys and girls. Get your face down on the floor, alone. Don't let anybody see you. You don't want to impress your mom and dad. But you want to get in a position where God might listen to you. I can't guarantee you he's going to save you. You can do all the screaming you want. And anything you do isn't going to save you. Try these words, Peter's words, Lord, save me. That water he was sinking into was a picture of hell, the Sea of Galilee, right? Verse 41, watch and pray. Here it is again. That ye enter not into temptation. This is the word trial. And Jesus was in the trial of his life, right here. We just heard on the radio these past few days about Christ being tempted in the wilderness, a great trial where he was face to face. And the Bible teacher I listened to on the radio said that was really, really serious. This is really serious. Christ is in hell. And he says, watch and pray that you enter not into trial. I want to tell you, the best I can understand the scripture right now, we're going to go on and look at more of this. We are entering into a great trial in the next few years. If you profess the name of Christ and you understand the Bible, you may go through a trial you've never dreamed of. Some of you here just sharing with me that your spouse has abandoned you. That may be nothing. You're going to be hated of all men. Your family members are going to hate you if you know the true gospel. Your mom, your dad, your brothers, sisters, your children. Look at verse 45. Then he cometh to his disciples and saith to them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed. What was this hour? This was the hour of judgment day. Jesus in hell. Why? For his people. Did Jesus belong in hell? No. He was perfect. Which of you accuseth me of sin? There wasn't any sin in him. Pilate was right. I find no fault in him. You know, the Holy Spirit opened his mouth to finally speak the truth. There was no fault in him. He didn't belong in hell. He was there for you, if you know Christ. Sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. This is the first judgment day, second judgment day. Anybody here falling asleep right now? Feel like a nap? How about this week? Looking for and hastening unto. How many of you are speeding up your life? You give out tracts? You witness to your neighbors? Jesus says, watch and pray. Wait. Wait. Many of us have been through a period for 10, 15 years where we thought we understood a lot about the Lord's coming. We didn't know as much as maybe we thought. Now we know a lot more. But it's a time to watch and pray. Be ready also. Turn real quickly so we see the parallel to this. And I'll conclude over here. In Mark 13, this is the parallel to Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's worded a little bit differently. I want you to see these words. Mark, I meant 14. If I said 13, I apologize. Mark 14, beginning verse 34. Verse 33 says, and he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, one of those threes. Hey, you boys and girls, by the way, this is a fun project. It's fun with math. See if you can find 20 times the number 3 appears at the cross of Calvary. And I'll give you a real treat if you come to me and you show me 20 of them. Here's one. Right, get a pencil, write it down. Here's one. Verse 33, Mark 14. Peter, James, and John. How many disciples went into the garden with Jesus? 3. How many times did he throw himself on the ground? 3 with loud cries. I gave you a bunch of them, but I want you to get to 20. And your moms and dads, they'll give you a prize. And he saith unto them, he began to be sore amazed. That's a very strong expression in Greek. Jesus was at the end of himself in hell, atoning for his people, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Wait here. Wait ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, and if it were possible, that if it were possible, the hour might pass. Verse 37, he cometh and finding him sleeping, saying, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst thou not watch 1 hour? The judgment day is called an hour several times in Scripture. Here it is again. Verse 38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into the trial. The trial ahead of us, by the way, is going on right now. It's called the Great Tribulation. The churches are under judgment. There's terrible confusion about the Bible. Who do you turn to? You have to find faithful Bible teachers. And they're few and far between. Few and far between. You have great hope. That book, the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. He's unsealing that book. He's going to help you understand the Bible like it's not been understood for 13,000 years. Watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Reminds you of Romans 7. You know, in my spirit, I want to honor God. I want to be perfect. I want to obey. My body is sold and is under sin. Let me just make a quick summary, and we're going to come back to this subject and see some more things. We need to look at Matthew 25, the virgins. After the five wise and foolish virgins, we didn't look at that. The word watch is there. And there's at least 10 other watches in the Bible. And I think you'll be very interested to see these last 10. And I want to get into the Old Testament, what a watchman is. Well, here's what I said. You know, I never took a public speaking course, but they say when you take a public speaking course at Dale Carnegie, Mr. McCann knows this because he's taken preaching lessons in school. They say when you stand up and speak to somebody, tell them what you're going to tell them. I hope I did that a little bit. Tell them. And what's the last thing? I'm at the end right now. What's the last thing I'm supposed to do? Tell them what you told them. What did I tell you? I've been speaking for 30-some minutes, right? What did I tell you? The KJV translates this word watch, which is 23 times. Two times it doesn't use the word watch. By the way, I hope you show great respect to the King James Version. 54 of the greatest scholars that God ever put on earth. Some of them could speak Greek and Hebrew before they spoke English. Did you know that? Their parents, one of them, didn't know the Word of God so much, they made their babies. Here's some babies in here, some little guys. They made their babies learn the language of the Bible before they taught them English. How's that for discipline? King James Version has this word twice as wake, wake up, don't sleep, wake, and vigilant. Vigilant. Any of you scouts? Get alert, wake up, get on patrol, get vigilant. Number two, we learned today. What's a cure for the good man of the house? The oikodespot. You're the ruler of your house. What's a cure for your not knowing the day or the hour? A cure is watching. And we're going to get into great detail about that the next time. What were Anna and her friends? They were standing, jumping up and down in the temple when the baby Jesus came in, the Lord of glory, the maker of the universe, the judge of the whole earth. They were jumping for joy. How come they showed up at the temple that day? They should have been home baking cookies. What were they doing? They were looking for and hasting unto the day of the Messiah. And Simeon was right there and held the baby Jesus. Right? Looking for. It's a cure for not understanding the timing. Yes, the whole world is going to be blind. They're going to be hung up in 1,000 years and 3.5 years and 7-year tribulation. Who knows what end that is? None of which is from the Bible. I appeal to you on the basis of these scriptures, many of them, to be ready. The word watch is coupled with be ready. And that has to do with examining your soul, whether or not you're under a strong delusion that you think you're saved. Is it Satan that brings a strong delusion? At the end of the world, there's going to come a strong... Satan brings that? Oh, no. Satan is loose, but the Scripture says in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, God will send a strong delusion. You want to cry out for mercy? Cry that God not send you a strong delusion. How come it isn't you that God is sending a strong delusion? He's sending on 1 billion professing Christians, maybe 2 billion, a strong delusion. How come that isn't you? If you can answer that, I wish I'll come to your home. You call me on the phone. I'll come there anytime. How come you don't have a strong delusion, or me? Because if you're like me, you're a foolish and sinful person. How come that strong delusion passed you by? You read 2 Thessalonians 2:11. Be ready also, so you're not found naked or with a wrong garment. Watch, so your soul, your house, is not broken into by a thief who's coming to take everything you have. Unless you're saved, and then he's not going to take the one thing you have, which is everlasting life. The only thing in this life that's worth a thing, worth talking about. You know, we had a real nice conversation in the car coming down. And we went up talking, I went up talking about something on television, and I said to my company in the car, what are we talking about this for? There's only one thing in this life worth talking about, and that's the life to come. And we're all going to face that life to come sooner than many of you may think. Very, very soon. And the scripture is going to show us that. We read Mark, I believe, or in Luke, it said, the porter, he commands the porter to watch. You know, I've had a lot of fun because of a previous employer I had, the government, sent me all around the country on Amtrak and paid for a bedroom so I could have my own room, which was fun for me. My dad was on the railroad for 50 years, and I'm hooked on trains, and there's always a porter on Amtrak. He carries your bags. He makes your bed up. And he puts a little Amtrak mint on your pillow, and he brings you coffee in the morning. We just read a minute ago, command the porter to watch. That's not what this word is. We're going to visit this word later. It has nothing to do with the porter that's in your mind. It's like the good man. It has nothing to do with what you think a good man is. That's the house despot, the house ruler. The porter, by the way, and I'll show you in Scripture, is the gatekeeper. And if you know the Lord, that's you. Who I am the door. Who's the door? Who's the keeper of the door? Gatekeeper. That's you, the elect. Remember how the number 2 applies all throughout Scripture to the bearers of the gospel? We are the keepers of the gate. And if we don't keep it, the sheep will follow the wrong shepherd. They'll get out. They'll get out. They'll be unsaved. Remember, as we watch, that the second coming is deeply hidden, as the gospel is. 1 billion professing Christians world, they think in 2 seconds they can tell you what the gospel is. They're ready to give an answer. They have no clue what the gospel is. The gospel will not allow that your faith can save you, because Mr. McGowan just read to us, faith is a work. He read from 1 Thessalonians. He could have read the same thing in 2 Thessalonians. Faith is a work. Watch and pray. Beg for mercy. Begging. Think of the Lord Jesus praying in Gethsemane. What kind of prayer was he doing? The man was in prayer. He was begging. He was begging for his life. Should you be begging for your life? He didn't deserve to be in hell. He was in hell. How about you? You ought to be there. If there's any justice in this world, Scripture says, I'm desperately wicked. If there's any justice whatsoever, I ought to be in hell. And James says, for one sin, I ought to be in hell forever. Watching and waiting. Have patience. We're going to talk about that. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And this word watching, I'm going to show you, has to do with get strong at the end. Your hands that hang down, your knees that are weak. The scripture is going to say that those that are watching are strong in the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. Many of you have been waiting 10, 15 years. You've been anticipating the coming of the Lord. Don't be faint-hearted. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Because you have wonderful blessings that believers for 13,000 years haven't experienced. You've got them. And we're going to look at more of them. Just be aware that you're going to go through a trial, the greatest trial of your life at the end of time, coming right up. The scripture says, watch and wake up from sleep. It's contrasted over and over again. Don't fall asleep looking for and hasten unto. Put your running shoes on. By the way, that word in Greek has to do with running. Speed up. Get your Nikes on. Because now the Lord's going to come. And we have work to do. We're gatekeepers. And if we don't keep that gate, what does Ezekiel say? Their blood will be on my head. If I don't sound an alarm, the sword is coming. Their blood will be on my head. Watch. So you can intensify your work. Watch to understand the timing of the end. Watch, because Christ is coming suddenly in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We want to look at the question next time. What if I don't watch and I fall asleep? Those three disciples in Gethsemane, they fell asleep. Three times he came and woke them up again. Does that mean I'll wind up in hell if I'm not watching? We want to look at that very carefully. We want to get into the Old Testament. Let us pray. Our God in heaven,